Malachim Aleph, Parak Ches, Pasuk Yod Zayin. Vahim levav David Avi, Livnais Bayas Hashem Hashem, Eloika Israel. Now Shlomo HaMelech is speaking out how his father David wanted, was with his heart, he wanted to build Beis HaMikdash. You have it?
Yeah.
So now, why is this important? So Malachim already explained that a very important condition in building the Beis HaMikdash is that the person who built it will build it with no alternative motives. He'll do it only because he wants to build a Bayis Hashem Hashem. Right? No other alternative. Problem is, even though David was a very righteous person, no question, he was a huge tzaddik, he loved Hashem, and he had the right wishes in mind. However, he's only human, and it was impossible for David not to have, on some level, on some minute level, to have some ulterior motive. Well, what ulterior motive would David HaMelech have? Because David HaMelech was constantly fighting his enemies. He was constantly fighting the Plishtim. He started with fighting Goyos. He put him down. And just war after war after war, they never learned their lesson. He kept on fighting. So the natural outcomes of the Beis HaMikdash being existing was the fact that there will be peace, right? Hashem will put peace in the land, there won't be any more war. So David, on some minute level, might have an ulterior motive that by building the Beis HaMikdash, he won't have to fight the war anymore. He'll have peace, right? It'll be beautiful, it'll be blissful. So that's why Hashem is saying, even though in his heart, right? That's why he's saying, Ve'imlevav David Avi, right? It was in his heart to build a Bayis Hashem Hashem. Right, he really wanted to build the L'Shem Hashem. Right, the problem is that since he knew that the natural outcome would be that there will be peace in the land, and since he's only human, on some level he will have that in mind as well. Therefore, Hashem did not let him build it at all.
What is wrong with that?
Because you have to build it only L'Shem Hashem. You can't have any other ulterior motive. You can't do it for your own personal reasons. You can't build it because you want your personal glory. Oh, I was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. They're gonna have my name on the wall, right? They're as the one who built the Beis HaMikdash.
That's not what he meant. That's not how he's gonna feel.
Right. You're right. He's not gonna feel that.
Something different. You're right.
Any ulterior motive at all, right? Doesn't that, it could be either because you want to have your name on the wall, because you want honor, you want respect, you want to impress other people, right? There people are gonna look at what you achieved, and they're gonna look up to you. Right, you want your wife to respect you. You want your friends to respect you. You want
that's not David.
It's not him. But on some level, you would have the ulterior motive. Baruch Hashem, I have the Beis HaMikdash. Now I don't have to go out to war anymore.
All right. I'm trying to say that it isn't such a bad not wanting that Hashem should be there all completely. He was forced into all he was. He didn't go look for him.
Of course.
He had to do him. He was commanding him, everything else. So now, even though he feels, well, there won't be no more wars. But I don't think it's taking anything away from, he rebuilt it because Hashem, why is it going to be? Because Hashem is going to be in there. It's all the same. But continue.
Of course he did build the L'Shem Hashem. There's no question about it. We're not
I thought differently. We learned before we told him not to do it because you spilled blood.
Right.
You fighting. That's a different story altogether. Even though we couldn't help it, but he had to do it, that's why. The son didn't go to the floor, so the person, that's a different reason. That I can understand better than the other one.
So you're saying that David, at the end of the day, he had the right reasons in mind. And even though he would have, he would enjoy the fact that there's no more war, you're saying that's not the main reason. Yeah?
To me, it's far-fetched, but go ahead.
Again, you're right. You're right. It's not, obviously, it might even...
We're not talking about a plain person here.
Might not be in his conscious mind. It might be deep, deep in his psyche, right? Subconscious, he's not even aware of it himself. But on some level, somewhere, he might have that. That's also...
You can have that with anybody.
Of course.
So whoever built it. So why can't you do the same thing that...
Because Shlomo didn't have any wars. He didn't have any wars, right?
Yeah, but
he's not enjoying a direct outcome of building the Beis HaMikdash.
That happened to him, too, before he became king. Didn't he have trouble, too?
Shlomo? No. He didn't have any war. Who did he have to fight? We saw. Who did he have to fight?
Not fighting.
Right.
Not fighting, I mean, but, you know, political.
He handled the enemies of David HaMelech, yeah, but that's that he did it himself. He didn't have to do it. He wasn't forced into it. Right?
Okay.
David HaMelech told him, listen, take care of my political enemies, you know, on your own terms. And Shlomo HaMelech did it. He did it in a very wise way, as we saw. But it's not like he had, you know, he's forced into a situation where he had no way out. Oh, and the Beis HaMikdash came and saved him, you know. Saved by the bell. Right? He didn't have that. Whereas David, you know, would have that. If the Beis HaMikdash existed in his days, you would feel, oh, now I don't have to go out to war. That's great. I can finally sit down and enjoy myself. Relax a little bit from all those wars. Right? You're right. It's for sure not one of his main purposes at all. Right? His main purpose was to build the L'shem Hashem. That's why it says, right? V'im levav David Avi, it was in the heart of David my father, livnois ba'as L'shem Hashem, like Yisrael. For sure. It was with his heart to build it, L'shem Hashem. No question. That was his main purpose. That was the main reason. But the Malbim is explaining that on some level, some minute level that he might even not be aware of fully, right, deep in his psyche, it might be there somewhere that he's enjoying the natural outcome of peace in the land. Yeah?
You said the same thing again. And I'm
You're still not, okay, not convinced.
the same thing.
Okay.
Only if Hashem is there. If you see, we build a building and Hashem didn't put his countenance there, they didn't do anything. No.
What do you mean by that?
To me, it's the same reason.
That's not the reason. David HaMelech felt that he knew he sinned. He thought he sinned with Beit Sheva, and he didn't get.
No, that's not the reason that he couldn't build it. You couldn't even.
You're not going to build it. Your son is going to build a Beis HaMikdash.
Right. That's true. But we found at the building of the Beis HaMikdash, we find that he was actually forgiven for that sin. Right, when they wanted to open up the doors, when they wanted to open up the gates.
The
doors were not open. Right. So Shlomo HaMelech started davening, started saying 15 mizmarim, right, and nothing happened. Only when he mentioned his father David, that's when it finally opened. And the Gemara says that's when everyone knew that David HaMelech was forgiven for the chet of Bathsheba.
You told us that.
So we find in the meaning of English itself.
Yeah, but that's,
we find that he was forgiven.
That is not what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's go a little further.
The reason he built the Beis HaMikdash is to have Hashem live there.
Right.
Right. How can you think it's all the same. You can see Hashem will think, now we're going to have peace because Hashem is going to be there. It's the same thing. I don't think it's deviating from the reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I hear.
Okay.
So now he's saying that even though since he didn't do it before, he didn't actually act on it, but the Chazal say that Machshava Taiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarf Al HaMaaseh. If a person has a positive good thought, or he's going to do a mitzvah, right? And he doesn't end up doing it, Right? He gets distracted, life happens, he forgets, whatever it is. You know, so Balamaisa, he still gets schar for the machshava. He still gets reward for the actual thought. The actual thought, he does get rewarded for. So too, that by David Melech, even though he didn't actually act on building the Beis HaMikdash, but the fact that he had the machshava, he had the thought, he wanted to, he's going to get rewarded for that as well. So Pasuk Yuches continues, Vayimar Hashem el David Avi, Yan Asher Hayim Levavcha Livna Yisbaris Lashmi, right? Even since it was with your heart to build a house for my zchus, for me, right? The zchus of your machshava, the merit of your positive thought is going to be rewarded, right? So it's considered to me as if you build a Beis HaMikdash. So David HaMelech is now going to get schar, he's going to get rewarded as if he mamash actually was the one to build a Beis HaMikdash because he wanted to. Pasigutes, Rak ata loitiv na bais, right? However, you will not be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning the words here, Rak ata loitiv na bais, means that the only thing that's missing is the action. Right? The action is the only thing that's missing. Right? Everything else was all in place, right? The thought was in place, you were prepared, you had everything planned out. But the only one thing that was missing was the action. So since your son, right, was the one who built it for my name, and since he had it, he did not have this ulterior motive that David HaMelech might have had of having peace in the land. Therefore, since he was the one who built it, I'm rewarding you. Your son will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem fulfilled his promise. Which promise are we referring to over here? We're referring to the promise that Hashem made David HaMelech. Which promise did Hashem make David HaMelech? Do you remember? Hashem promised David HaMelech that his son will be the right. The Malchus will continue along to the next generations. Right? Now, there were two... Okay, so let's see further.
Solomon, when he got together with Bathsheba the first time, that she had a child that died. So,
yes.
What... How many children did he have before Solomon?
He was the second one.
Yes?
He was the second one.
He was the second one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was really, apparently, he was like the oldest, you know, that survived.
Okay.
From the relationship between David and Bathsheba.
Well, there was other sons, but...
Yeah, but he was, Shlomo Melech was the oldest.
But Hashem didn't mention what son should build.
Right.
Can be any son.
Well, David actually promised Bathsheba. It says that Bathsheba refused to be with him. After the first son died, Bathsheba refused to be with him.
Okay.
And she said, "Oh, now everyone's gonna say all the sons are, you know, they're bastards or whatever they are, they're mamzerim." She didn't want to be with him intimately. So David HaMelech then promised Bathsheba. He said, "I promise you that the next son that we're going to have together is going to be the king after me." That's when he made her the promise. And that's why when Avshalom took control over the kingdom and he started his rebellion, who comes to him? Bathsheba. Well, Bathsheba and Nathan Navi both came to him. But Bathsheba is coming to him and telling him, "You have to fulfill your promise. You promised me that my son..." Who Shlomo was alive at the time? He will be the one to be the son after the next king, and now you have Avshalom, this other son who's taking over. Right? You gotta take control and fulfill your promise. So it was actually David who made this promise, and hence, meaning part of that promise was that he will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, because David Melech knew that his son will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. He knew that when Hashem told him that he's not going to be the one. Hashem told him, who will be the one? Your son, right? So when he promised Bathsheba, what he knew was that he that Shlomo will be the one to build the Beis Hamikdash.
Whose mother was Abshalom's
Abshalom?
Who was Abshalom's mother? Which one of his wives?
Mrs. David.
Hold on.
I know he had so many. He had so many children.
Avshalom was, I think it was Michal. But let me double check. Hold on. Just a minute.
He had like 120 kids, so it's not.
Yeah, he did have a lot of kids. Let's see him real quick.
I don't know if they were all sons. They might have been and daughters.
No, but they didn't rebel against them. Only Avshalom would rebel. A
couple of them, but
Adonia also tried.
He had a whole bunch of other ones.
Adonia also tried. Right, Adonia, his fourth son, right, is Amnon was the oldest, right? He died because Avshalom killed him. After he died, so after Amnon came Avshalom, Avshalom was the second one, and then there was a third son by the name of Daniel, I believe. Daniel, apparently, it doesn't really mention him. He doesn't seem to be.
He doesn't mention all his kids. I don't think. Maybe
no.
Maybe a yom. I'm not sure.
No, but Avshalom was the fourth son. And he figured since apparently it's brought down in the Mefarshim that Daniel died as well at some point. Doesn't really say it in the Navi, but he did die.
How much older was he than Solomon?
He was much older. King Shlomo at the time was only 12.
Yeah, he was a kid.
Yeah, he was a little kid. Solomon was an older man. Hold on. Here we go. Let me just check. Where's the button? Okay, I can't find it. Okay, whatever. I'll have to find it. Okay. Doesn't say it over here.
Never mind sons. What about his daughters?
Doesn't really speak about his daughters that much. Okay,
Did Abshalom have his other brothers there on his side?
Yeah, he did.
Huh?
He did.
They were all going with him.
Yeah, everyone was with him.
Except they didn't invite.
The only one that was not invited was Shlomo.
Hmm?
The only one that was not invited was Shlomo. He was the only one.
No, I don't mean that. There, I mean when he started the
rebellion
against David.
Yeah.
So his other brothers went along with him.
Yep.
All of them.
Yeah.
So what happened to them? We know Avshalom was
killed. Yeah, the only one that was killed was Avshalom, because he was the head.
And what happened to them?
No, they became loyal to David again, once David won the war.
They returned.
Yeah, they returned back to their...
How Shlomo was very young, right?
Yeah, very young.
When he became... How old was he?
He was 12.
12?
12, yes.
Okay.
Okay, let's see weiter. So, Pasuk, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'asim sham makom la'aron asher sham bris Hashem, shekar asim avasinu b'hoitzi'oi oisam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? He's now saying that I will make a permanent place for the Aron, and which is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, and I'll build a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Chav Beis, V'yamad Shlomi lifnei Mizbach Hashem Nagid Kol Kal Yisrael, V'yifreis Kapov HaShemayim. Now, Shlomi Melech is making a public speech to all the Jewish people, and he's raising up his hands to Shemayim, he's thanking Hashem that brought him to this moment. Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'yamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Ein Kamecha Elokim HaShemayim Yimal, V'alos Mitachas, there is no one like you, Hashem, in the heavens above and on the earth below. Shemer Bisa Chesed LaVadecha Holchim LaFadecha B'chol Libam. Why is he saying this? Why is he saying Ein Kamoicha Elokim, and there's no one like Hashem? Because Hashem promised to David HaMelech two things. He promised him that Shlomo will be the one who would be the king after him, and that he will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Right? However, it stops over there. That was one promise. There was an additional promise. Sorry, the first promise was made without any condition. No matter what happens, no matter how Chas V'Shalom Shlomo HaMelech would be a terrible man, he wouldn't do any mitzvahs, he would be doing only Averis, still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would fulfill his promise that Shlomo would be king, and he would be the one to build up his HaMikdash. That does not depend on what he actually does. However, there was another promise that Hashem made to David HaMelech, and that second promise was that also the future generations after Shlomo HaMelech will also be remain kings. Yeah, right, until Mashiach. Right, and but that second condition was only
the kingship
if the other future generations actually follow the rules of the Torah. If they follow the rules of the Torah, then Hashem will fulfill his promise. If they do not follow the rules of the Torah, then he will not fulfill his promise. And those are the promises that Hashem made David. Now, David HaMelech, on his own accord, went ahead and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill the second promise as well, that it should be unconditional. Right? Just like the first promise was unconditional, that Hashem will fulfill, that Hashem will have Shlomo build the Beis HaMikdash, and he will be the king after him. So, to the second promise, that the future generations will also continue with the kingship, that should also be unconditional.
If they do what they're supposed to.
Yeah, but David HaMelech is asking that even if they don't do what they're supposed to, it should still come true. That's what David HaMelech is asking for. Right? Okay. Meaning what? Part of the request of David is that he gufa, that they shouldn't go off the derech. They should follow the rules of the Torah. Hashem should make sure that they do follow the rules of the Torah. Right? So the fact that that Hashem fulfilled this promise is Chasde Hashem, right? That all comes from the kindness of Hashem. Right? Because so Malbim explains that the unfulfillment of the promise that Hashem made to David HaMelech, that will show that, so to speak, that Hashem does not have the ability to control the way people act. Right? If Hashem cannot control the way people act, then he can't control that. He can't determine that the future generations after Shlomo would follow the rules of Hashem, would follow the rules of the Torah. He can't control it, right? It's up to them. They have free will. Right, the fact that he went ahead and performed it anyway, he's fulfilling his promise, that shows that Hashem has that ability, and he's not, and he's doing it out of chesed. Right, chesed means something. Chesed means that you're doing it something without the other person deserving it. Right, when we refer to chesed shel emes, when a person when we fulfill burial, right, that's called a true chesed, because there's no possible way the person can pay us back. Right? We're still going ahead and performing it, even though we know there's no way you can pay us back. Chesed refers to the kind of kindness that is unpayable. Right? There's no way we're gonna get it back. That's chesed. So Hashem is now going ahead and he's doing this, even though he's not gonna necessarily get paid back, but he's doing it on his own accord, even though they're not on their own gonna follow the rules of Hashem. Hashem is gonna make sure they do follow the rules of Hashem. That comes out of chesed. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech is referring to over here, and he says, "Ein kamoicha elokim b'shamayim imal v'al haaretz mitachas." There's no one like you, Hashem, in the heavens above and on the earth below. Meaning, you have complete and utter control over the whole world. And there's no one that can stop you from fulfilling your promise. And it continues, it says, let's see the next pasuk. And it continues in this pasuk, and it says, You're protecting the covenant, meaning the covenant that you made with David, and you're protecting the chesed that you have, because any promise that was made out of chesed is not going to be cancelled forever. The fact that you're willing to do chesed with these people, it's not dependent on anything. It's coming out of the goodness of your heart, so to speak, right? So therefore, even these people are not deserving of it, but you're still going to go ahead and do it anyway. That's what he's saying. Shemer bris v'chesed l'avadecha olchem l'fanecha v'chol ibam. Right? For the future generations, that they shall follow you with all their hearts. That is part of the chesed that you're performing.
Well, but that's not what happened.
The future generations?
The kingdom was split.
Right.
Right.
We'll see. It's a good question. We're going to get there.
He's asking him something that didn't happen.
Didn't come true.
I mean, what did he really mean? I mean, he couldn't have meant that you could let him do whatever they damn well please and not punish him. He couldn't mean that. Like you're saying,
No. He's not davening that you shouldn't punish them for doing wrong. Rather, he's davening that you should make sure they don't do anything wrong.
Well, like you said, how could you, if you got your free will, how could
right.
you
control? Okay, that's a good question, right? How can you take away the free will of someone? Right, that's a good question.
Well, the only way he can do that is that he gives you free will, but he can make it such a way that it'll come into your head that you want to do the right thing.
Right.
With a little help.
Right.
Somebody who really helped, he doesn't know what he's doing, but all right. Then you can ask the question, why didn't he do it all the time, and why did the people go bad, and well, everybody got hurt, and like I always said, so many people died and everything else.
Right. I'm saying this question comes up a few times, right? It comes up with Paro as well. How could Hashem say that Hashem hardened his heart in the last five makas? Right? How is that possible? How could he harden his heart? You're taking away his free will, right? So one of the explanations that are given are that, meaning naturally, Paro would give in because the suffering is so intense that he couldn't handle it anymore, right? So what Hashem did was he took away that suffering. I mean, he didn't take it away, but he wasn't... It wasn't meaning that the suffering wouldn't be the one to push him to give in, right? So, and like for example, we daven to Hashem that Hashem will elevate us and want on our that we should want on our own to do the Ratzon Hashem. Like for example, we say every Friday night, we say we sing Kol Mekadesh Shvi, right? What do we say over there? We say the words Kel Kana V'Noikem. What's the lesson? Let me grab.
Huh?
we think Kol Mekadesh, or Kol Mekadesh Shvi, it says, bring chesed to the people who know you. Then this is very perplexing word. It says kel kanoi v'noikem. Right, you should bring chesed, you know, to the people who know you. A king who's jealous and revengeful. Right, is that a word? Revengeful.
Yeah. Resentful.
No, revenge. Right, to take revenge. V'noikem. Right, to take revenge. Right, so we're asking for chesed from Hashem, who's jealous and revengeful, right? Doesn't match up, right? The numbers don't add up. Asking for chesed from Hashem, who's from a kel kanoi v'noikem. So that one of the explanations given is that when a person does something wrong, Hashem has two choices: either to punish him, right? He did something wrong, then boom, we're going to punish you, right? You deserve it, or a consequence to send him back in line. However, yes, there's another option. When a person does something wrong, Hashem could do the opposite, right? Instead of punishing him for what he did wrong, he could go ahead and he could give him even more, right? He could give him even more plenty, more happiness, more shefa. And what's going to happen is the person is going to feel so guilty, right? And say, oh, I'm doing wrong and Hashem is giving me so much good, right? We're gonna feel so guilty that we're gonna go back. You know, we're gonna step back in line, right? So we're asking from Hashem to act in a way where he's gonna push the buttons in a way where we're not gonna have to suffer.
And the first will realize he's doing the wrong thing, and he'll change.
Right, exactly.
That's not human nature.
To what?
What do you mean it's not human nature?
It's not human nature when you do something wrong.
What are you talking about?
You're making a lot of money, you've got to keep doing that bad thing.
You do, maybe, not somebody else.
No.
I'm sorry. You get a stupid understanding about this, Mishigas. You think you're talking about plain people that go walking around here, talking about David that talked to God himself. He's not a plain person. And I'll tell him he had it like this here.
Okay, so
he
we see here.
Like everybody else.
That's not human nature, full. Why does anybody do anything? Why? There's no. You're not born with human nature. You're born and you're brought up any place, and that's what you see, and that's what you know. If the people teach you one way, you'll know that way. If they teach you a different way, another way. You don't know nothing beforehand. Human nature doesn't mean everybody's bad. You can be doing the wrong thing, and then all of a sudden, something gets into your head. I'm doing the wrong thing. You can do that. It can happen. It depends what happens to you. That's all. You're not stamped that you have to be bad because you're bad now. That you're bad all the time. There's no such thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't have no Gehenna or anything. Your soul would be damned right away if you can't change. It doesn't work that way. It depends. If a person grows up with a gang, he's known anybody else. He does what they do. But if he happens to meet other good people and see what they do, it's a possibility he'll understand what he did, what he done is wrong.
There's a possibility that he won't. That's all.
That's what it is. It's not that right. Human nature. Human nature isn't bad.
Okay, next question.
So let's see. Let's see weiter. Pasuk Chavdan. Asher shemata l'avdecha David avdi asher dibarto leimor asher dibarto loy, but the daber meficha ubiyotcha mileisa koyem bazeh. Right, so now you fulfilled your promise to David. The first promise that Hashem made to David was fulfilled. Right, Shlomo is king. He built the Beis Hamikdash. That's the first promise that was fulfilled. Right, and now we say, okay, now Shlomo is thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for fulfilling that promise. Right, and he's telling him, just like you fulfilled your first promise, so too we're davening further that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go on to fulfill the next promise, right? It's brought on, for example, that when a person, Chas V'Shalom, is in a tight spot, what Hashem does is he does like a small miracle for the person to strengthen his bitachon. Then once that small miracle was done for him, and his bitachon is stronger, now his bitachon is even stronger, then Hashem is now can go ahead and perform a much greater miracle, much greater nes, or a much greater yeshua for him, because of this small beginning of a yeshua. So it's a similar idea. Again, it's not over here. Hashem made a promise, right? So if it's the beginning over here, just like same idea over here, just like Hashem is fulfilling the first promise that Shlomo will be king and build the Beis HaMikdash, so too we're davening further that he should also fulfill his next promise. That Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shmor La'avdecha David Avdi Et Asher Dibarta Li Le'emor. Right, and he's asking Hashem that you should continue the next promise that you promised. Li'karasacha Ish Mufana Yeshev Al Kisei Yisrael. Right, that in fact the future generations as well will continue to sit on the throne. Rakim Ishmeru Vanechas Darkam Aleches Lefonai Kasharlachta Lefonai. Right, but again he's mentioning that their condition was that they should follow the rules of Hashem, just like I have followed. Vato. Now Shlomo Melech is asking Elokei Yisrael, Ye'omen No Dvarecha Asher Dibarta Lav Decha David. Right, so he's asking him, and he's asking that you should not be mevatel, you should not cancel out the malchus of Hashem, by making sure that they will follow the rules of Hashem, and that way you won't have any excuse, any reason to not fulfill your promise. By the way, what time is Mincha? 7:45 or 7:50? 7:50. Oh, okay. Okay, so we have another 2 minutes. Pasuk of Zayin, Ki ha'umnam b'yeshev elokim al ha'aretz, hine ha'shamayim mishmei ha'shamayim lo yichalek alucha, af ki ha'bayis hazeh asher banisi. So now he's telling him, he's giving him another reason why to fulfill his promise. So he's saying like this, he says that both the Beis HaMikdash and Malchus Beis David and David's kingship are all both connected, right? They're connected one to another. Because Hashem promised that He will bring a Shechinah in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Beis HaMikdash came with the Schus of David HaMalach, right? So it's kind of like a catch-22. What comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? So it was through the Malchus of David that Hashem was willing to dwell, to have a Shekhinah dwelling amongst the Jewish people. Right? And now he's saying that through the promise that he fulfilled, that now the David Melech came and Hashem was willing to be Mashra Shekhinah, so too Hashem will continue with that Ashras Shekhinah, right? And it will continue for the future generations. The Baal Mavir speaks out that you should not think that when Hashem dwells, right, he's Mashra Shechina, it's like, oh, he has a house, right? He has a house to be, okay, so now you can go into the house and, like, you know, lie in the bed, relax, take off his shoes, you know, lie on the couch. No, it's obviously not physical like that. Because, Yina Shamayim Lo Yichal Kalucha, right, the heavens, the vast heavens that are so huge, are so big, right, They're not big enough to contain the Shechinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kivyachol, so to speak, right? So too, this house that I built, right, it's not big enough to contain the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And the more so, if the heavens are not big enough, so obviously, the Beis HaMikdash itself that was built by human beings, obviously it's not big enough to contain the Shechinah, right? Rather, when it refers to Hashem being Mashra Shechina in this world, it's referring to the fact that Hashem is closer to us. And now, we're Zeichet Hashkacha Pratis. Now, we have that special close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have that special Hashgacha Pratis, that now Hashem is so close to us, and you know, our lives are directed by Hashem in a more intimate way. Hashem is more involved in our life. And that's what we're davening for. Okay, I think we'll stop here because it's time for Mincha. We'll continue next week.